Blog Talk Radio.
By the way,
one day na wakateka wakamba Pilato na wakateka Adewe kushama kwezo ni wakamba Pilato Ok muli haipa waneta muli wino.
Welcome to our special feature on Sunday, May 4th, in which we're going to be talking to Zambia's ambassador to the U.S., Mr. Palani Mulonda. And we are delighted that he is joining us on this special Sunday feature as we begin our discussion with him. They will be joining us very shortly. And thank you. This is Nathan Nkrumah. I was going to be your host from the great city of Dallas, Texas. Let me talk to my colleague here and friend and contributor and host on Zambia Blog Talk Radio, Matilda, in Missouri. Matilda, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nathan. How are you?
Doing good. Are you looking forward to this? Oh, first of all, before I ask a question, how was your day? How was church?
It's a great Sunday. Happy to be alive.
You know, we do this normally on the weekend, on Saturday rather, so we just used to getting straight into things, and I realized that it's a Sunday, so I needed to ask you that question.
The question is, how's the weather? That's our Saturday morning question.
Oh, the weather? No, our colleague in Calgary, I hope he joins us. He has put a picture of snow. Have you seen that picture of snow? In Rogers. We have somebody calling us on Skype. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Hello, Skype?
Not Skype, but it's probably me. If the number's not coming up, it's Robert.
Yeah, Robert, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Okay, so you know, Skype on Blog Talk Radio just shows a bunch of ones through.
It's probably my Vonage number.
Yeah. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you, sir. Thank you. How are you?
Thank you for joining us. We're looking forward to this discussion with Ambassador Mulonda.
It's a little bit later. Your other calls are so early. I'm still in bed. So,
Matilda, did you
hear that? You guys have no consideration for the West Coast.
None.
Don't throw that on Patricia, the press secretary, Robert.
Thank you to her.
All right. Area code 813, good afternoon. Area code 813. Okay. Titus, how are you?
I'm okay. How's everybody?
How's Minnesota, sir?
We are warm.
You are warm, okay. You are close to Roger there. I thought you were going to say you are frozen. Thanks for joining us, Titus. As we've already got word from the embassy. They're just trying to get themselves together. They're going to be joining us here in a while. And as we looking forward to this great discussion, this is, I think, 770 is Atlanta, Georgia, 8024. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing okay. Who is on the line?
This is Chanda.
Ah, hi.
I'm
ambushing the ambassador as well, eh?
I know. I have a lot of questions, but I'll limit to one. I condensed everything together.
As a matter of fact, that, let me just inform everybody that this is the arrangement we have with the ambassador, okay? And it's not the ambassador. You cannot blame it on me. The arrangement here is that this is going to be a Facebook event, okay? What we want to do is just to sort of, you can understand. This is the first time he's doing this. And we just want to sort of create that scenario where we are, you know, cordial. I did assure them that nothing really silly or funny things happen on this forum, but you can never know when you're talking to an ambassador. So what we have agreed that those of you that will be calling in and have got questions, please post your questions to our Facebook page or to my personal page. It doesn't matter. We'll read out. We just want to be careful that we are reading things that really need to be read, or because we are trying to develop a relationship with this administration and the working capacity, and I'm sure everybody understands. Everybody listening out there, whether you're in the UK, wherever you are listening, post your questions to Facebook, Uganda Blog Talk Radio, or if you are my friend, you can post it to my personal page, or if you are friends with Robert, he's part of the team, you can post it to Robert. If you are friends with Matilda, you can post it to Matilda. We'll read the question on the show. We just want to make sure that everything is okay here. Okay, you say you've got a lot of questions, Vachanda. Whilst we are waiting, let's do a little bit of running commentary here. Ambassador Mulonda has been in office for how long, Robert? 1 year? I'm not very sure.
It's about 1 year and 4 months, I think.
1 year and 4 months, okay. And I think PF government has been in office longer than that. So I don't know. What are your thoughts so far, Bachanda? How do you look at what has been your, I don't know, have you been to the embassy? I've never been to the embassy myself. I went to D.C., but I didn't get a chance to go to the embassy. What are your impressions of things of the work there?
Oh, you know, I have nothing nothing against the embassy. I've never been there, just like you. I've called the office one time, you know, to seek assistance with, you know, whatever I wanted. You know, I got the response, you know, after some time. It's not really a lot of questions to kind of, you know, put him in a situation. It's just my own general question with what I would like to see as a person helping people back in Zambia. I just wanted to find out if there's a best channel, you know, for us to, you know, get assistance from the embassy. Because, you know, when you're trying to do work in Zambia, I think there should be a system where I shouldn't have to, you know, suffer just to try to get help. I just wanted to see if he has anything that he has put to consider people that are working home, and if we need help and assistance in terms of who to connect with or how we go about it. I just wanted to see if they've opened a clear channel, you know, for us to be able to get help. That's my main question, but everything that I have is going to fall under that general question.
I have that question, because I think some things, we have a situation where things need to be, let's just have a conversation. I assured him that what we are going to do, we're going to just have a living room conversation as a family to clear out something. But generally, I don't know where this is. Zambia is unhappy with the embassy, Robert. I don't know if you can answer that question.
Sorry, the line broke up a little bit. I didn't hear that.
Yes, I'm saying, what do you think really makes the people so unhappy with the embassy over the years? It's not just with the current administration, but generally things haven't been so good. Very few Zambians say very good things about the embassy. Why do you think that the situation is like that?
You know, it's a difficult question to answer, but I think if I had to answer it all in one area, I think it's a combination of, on one end, maybe a lack of communication on both sides, efficient communication. And I think there's also a part where there's maybe unrealistic expectation. I think it's important that both sides have a clear understanding of what you know, what the embassy can and cannot actually do. I think it behooves our mission on the other side to be clear with us as to what they're able to do and what they're not able to do, right? So, for example, if someone says, well, you know, I've got myself locked up and I need bail money, is it feasible for the embassy to come up and put up the bail money? If the answer is no, I think we need to be able to understand that what the limitations are of our mission. I think it all comes down to having a clear understanding of what our mission is there for, what they can and they cannot do. Now, does that mean that there are certain people that could have done a better job in the past? I'm sure they are, but that's not new to our embassy. It's not new to any embassy. It's not new to any organization. But I think what we have now is an opportunity for a clean slate, and new relationships, the forging of a new of new relationships.
Excellent. I like your thinking, Robert. I like that type of reasoning, and I think let's see if we can take that conversation there. Let me acknowledge a few other people. It's more than 5 minutes, but Patricia told me 5 minutes. She's going to be in trouble. Error code 773, good afternoon.
Ending in 9160.
Is
that
yes.
The president of Chicago, Ms. Helen Sichinga?
Ms. Sichinga, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you? How's everybody?
Everybody's doing okay. I'm sure you heard the comments my cousin here is Robert Med. And all the Sichingas are my cousins, by the way.
I'm actually your grandmother, not your cousin. Oh, my gosh. Technicalities. You've been caught, Nathan. Get it
straight. Exactly. Actually, auntie, not grandmother. Why are you rushing to get old?
I have to hustle him.
Okay. You noticed I ran out of words there. Mr. Chinga, what has been your experience with the embassy in the past?
Well, when I was logging on, I was just listening to the question that came up as, I think, from Ms. Chanda from Atlanta in regards
yes.
to how the embassy can help the NGOs. Well, fortunately enough, I had an opportunity to discuss the same, kind of a similar situation with the ambassador when he was here in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and I did present the same question saying that, because I'm actually affiliated to Ms. Chanda's cause. And what he said to me was that currently, at the embassy itself, they don't have a desk yet set up for that. But in Zambia, the government is trying to formulate some regulations and legislations to set up guidelines on how NGOs should operate. Because what's going on right now, it's like I would wake up and say, I have an NGO, and I'll start get funding. And yes, the Americans and the Western world are very good at giving funding, but it's not being regulated or controlled. So he said as of now, they are still working on that, but how we can, if NGO, we just go through the same Minister of Community and Development. I can't remember the other last part of the name of the ministry, but they've come up with that to work with people who have set up NGOs, both home and abroad. And I think he would enlighten us more on that one if he comes on the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
yes.
interesting. This is going to be a very interesting discussion, and I really hope that we can get the time, as much time as we need with Ambassador. And thank you, Ms. Chinga, for that contribution. That's very enlightening and helpful. I believe everybody agrees with that. Matilda, have you ever been to the embassy?
I've only been to the mission in New York. Whenever we'd have meetings with the UN for the women's conferences, I would always stop by there. But no, I haven't been to D.C., hence not having been to the embassies. No, I haven't. But I've spoken to them on the phone. My passport.
I trust the functions of the Zambian mission to the UN is slightly different. What was your experience in New York?
It was enlightening for me. Most of the people who were attending had come in from Zambia. So every evening they would have a briefing. Now, I live here in the U.S., so I wasn't sure if that was, in fact, I wasn't aware the first time that I was supposed to have been part of those briefings. But it so happened to be that we happened to be very close to, we had a parallel discussion close to the embassy, and we decided to drop by. And it was very interesting. After tea, of course, which was interesting too, we sat down and had a briefing of how the meetings had gone in the different parallel discussions that we had at the UN.
Okay. I
so
hope
that,
we could...
That was great.
I know our colleague in Germany is listening, Twambo. I wish I could ask her this question to respond on what our experience is with the embassy out there. But anyway, that's besides the point. But the major issue has been that it's like, you know, like Robert made a statement and he said you have been locked up or you got a legal issue. Then you say I need some bail money from the embassy. That it's like, I don't know where this mindset comes from to say they need to pay or take care of everything and stuff like that. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I have contacted and dealt with the embassy on different issues. That's many years ago. And those are things that I think for the sake of mutual understanding and respect, I wouldn't like to discuss on the air. It wasn't a good experience. I ended up writing a very strong letter to the ambassador then, who ended up intervening, and it went to that level. That was my experience. So you can imagine when you are discussing embassy issues with a person like me who had that type of experience, that this is what happened. I went to D.C. and I met with most of the staff there. We had a good discussion. I didn't go to the embassy itself, Robert. The interesting part is they came to a meeting where I was the one speaking. So isn't that an interesting scenario?
Wow.
That was very interesting. But we had a good chat. We talked. I didn't even refer to the incident. I just took it that it happened. Things happen. It was any other situation. But to be very honest, I was very, very upset. That's what made me write the letter to the ambassador. So that's the situation right there. That's what happened. Okay. I do not know what is happening to Miss Letia here. Let's see. Let's go to... Yes, you wanted to say something, Matilda?
Yes, you go ahead. I will get in touch with her, Miss Patricia.
Please get in touch with her.
Okay.
Area code 203, good afternoon. Okay. We shall. I want us to take a little break while we wait for the ambassador, and we'll just play a little song.
Kayangana bandalatu kupadwa tinabadwa mushe koma lelo lipazulika nikale tinakalapo kodwela lelo heka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa nimaona misozi masomo wake nimavuto abale nimavuto. Kumwanako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumufolo hamama inei njiwanda zotanizi taeza talema na yuma pempelo atika pena siku lina azati kumbukila oye chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basoweza ulemu atate imwe.
Or you're listening to Zanga Block Talk Radio Sunday special feature. Our guest is His Excellency Mr. Palani Mulonda. We are waiting on him. I just spoke to them. They say they're having technical problems connecting into the show. So Let's see how that is going to work. I've asked one of my colleagues to do a three-way connection. And everybody, thanks for bearing with us. Ambassador, I've lost quite a bit of time here. But we shall make the most of the time that we're remaining with. I guess we'll dispense with the, what do you call it, the preliminary protocols and just go straight into the questions that I have with me, which were sent to me. And I don't even know if we're going to take any questions because we lost quite a bit of time here. And I sincerely apologize for that. I hope we are getting somewhere with this discussion. Matilda, are we making any progress? Okay, I guess she's working on it. We were discussing experiences at the embassy, those that have been to the embassy and what their experience has been. I see a DC number here. Let me ask. Area code 202-686-6886. Good afternoon. DC, good afternoon. Okay. They are probably just listening. And let me talk to the Pennsylvania people. Raj Sebo, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Vanessa. And how are you?
Doing okay. Have you ever visited the embassy before?
Yes, I've visited the embassy, and I don't know if you guys had a discussion now, but yes, I did visit the embassy, Vanessa.
What was your experience? What would you say your experience was?
To be honest with you, all the administrations, like you, so good. I'm going to be honest, and it's not that the thing I'm going to say that I don't like the ambassadors who are there, but my best experience with embassy was when Chiluba was the president, you know, because I used to get a lot of information and was very, I used to be free to go there. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, so my best was when President Chiluba, because I've saved some things, the correspondence that we had, we used to get from embassy when Ambassador, I think it's Mr. Kamana, and I don't know if I should be naming names, but let me just say...
Hello, Mulishani, Mujivieti, Mulumere Nisha, Mudingai.
I was trying to call the embassy, but it's going to voicemail.
did you get me, Vanessa?
Sorry for the interruption. Go ahead again.
No, I'm done. Let me listen, then I'll contribute soon. Let me listen. Go ahead.
A long time, Chisebwe.
We know, Vaishan Mukwai.
Okay, I do not know the technicality going on at the embassy. We shall try this. And,
test dial 22 for training.
It appears I don't know what we are going to do with this.
Hello, Nathan.
Yes.
The number that's ending in 9717, that's the embassy?
Okay. Where?
Yeah, that's them.
I'm the one who's
trying matters, to... Treatment matters, dial 1-8.
Okay.
For emergencies.
You hear
all
that?
All right. Yes. I will try again.
Let them give you a direct line. We are calling the number, but we're not getting anything.
Absolutely. I have multiple numbers. I'll keep on trying. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Robert, this is not a good start.
Well, if it's technology, I don't know if we can put that on an individual. But you know me, I'm the optimist.
I don't even know why I asked you. I need a pessimist here. 203, good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Could you please tell us your name?
My name is Daliso Mwanza, and I'm calling from Connecticut.
Lemfika kwati Munsungu.
No, and it's Remba Tularand.
Don't worry, my cousin Robert will tell you I say anything that comes to my mind.
Watch.
So is this
God.
A question session? Question
no,
and answer?
We have a technical issue with the embassy. What's been
okay.
Nathan, maybe one of the first things that we can do when we finally do connect, if we're able to connect today, is maybe we can get a commitment from the mission that we have another attempt at this call sooner than later, and maybe even suggest that this be an ongoing dialogue, because we had a challenge on this side as well. I had gone to the Zambia Blog Talk Radio website and captured the information on there with regards to the time, and we sent that out to our California group, but the time on there was for the 8 a.m. So I think a few people might have tried to dial in at 8 a.m., so we might have lost a few people then. So I think our next time around, hopefully we'll be able to cover, we'll be able to pull in more of a crowd. So maybe if we can get a commitment from the mission to guarantee that we can get another call with them sooner than later.
I agree with you, Robert. We have a lot of people who have taken their time to call in. There's a lot of people on the switchboard right now. And I know there are a lot of people listening online. Okay. But Patricia and I have got an understanding. I've told her, use your cell phone because the system in the embassy is not working. I don't know, for some reason, you know, these technicalities, when you're calling from an extension or something like that, I don't know how these things work. I mean, I'm a theologian. That's my expertise. Let's wait for her. She's going to call in using her cell phone, and I hope that we can. We had agreed on an hour interview. Now we've lost almost like half an hour, but I'm enjoying my discussion with everybody. And, okay, as she tries to call in, let me go to area code. Okay, I think she has called in. Let's go to the embassy now. Miss Patricia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I have a bunch of Zambians who are trying to crucify you alive.
I'm very sorry. I'm sure you can bear as witness that we've been trying for the last several minutes to call in, but thank God we finally managed, and apologies to everyone.
Okay. I think we are ready for the ambassador.
All right. I would like to introduce Ambassador Palan Mulonda.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, our Sunday special feature today, we are honored and privileged to have His Excellency, Mr. Palan Mulonda, Zambia's ambassador to the United States. Your Excellency, thank you for joining us, and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone.
Let me say, Ambassador, before you came on, there was a consensus here that we need to do this again. Since we've lost a bit of time here. But
okay.
Let's get into the discussion. I'm sure between me and Ms. Litia, we can make that arrangement at a later time. We do appreciate you joining us. Let's get into some questions that we can cover in the 30 minutes that we have remaining on our show here. People like you and the position that you have taken, until your appointment as Zambia's ambassador, probably most of the Zambians didn't know about you. Could you please tell us who is Palan Mulonda? Where were you born? Where did you go to school? And what is your career background?
Thank you very much. My name's Palan Mulonda. I was born in Lusaka in 1970, to be precise, 21st February. I went to primary school at Lusaka Boys then. I did my secondary school at Munali Secondary School. Proceeded to the University of Zambia, where I pursued a law career and studied law, the University of Zambia, graduated in 94 and did my bar, now called Ziale, in 95. I then joined the government of Zambia under the Attorney General's Chambers, initially under the Director of Public Prosecution. So I started from the Directorate of Public Prosecution. I moved on to the Attorney General's Chambers, where I did civil litigation and then moved on to do international law and agreement. I served in that capacity for 7 years and then decided to have a break. But let me also state that in between, in 96, I did my Masters of International Law in Sweden. And so I'm a graduate of the University of Lund, Sweden. So when I decided to have a break with government, I went to teach, initially part-time in the law school, and established with colleagues a not-for-profit capacity building institute called URID, which basically was training the Zambia police, the judiciary, and the prison service in areas of human rights. Alongside that, I am a partner with a colleague of mine in a law firm, but currently a sleeping partner.
Okay.
That was from 2003 to 2006. In 2007, President Mwanawasa appointed me as vice chairperson of the Human Rights Commission, a position that I held up until I was appointed. But alongside that, you may wish to note that I was also the Chief Executive Officer and Director of the Zambia Institute of Advanced Legal Education, ZIALE.
Excellent. I'm sure when you presented your credentials being a lawyer and President Obama being a lawyer, you must have chit-chatted a little legal issues here and there.
Well,
a lawyer and he's a lawyer. I'm sure some legal issues came up.
It goes without saying.
I know. Ambassador, there are a lot of misconceptions. I'm sure you've been told the history of D.C. Embassy and the Zambians based in the United Kingdom, in the United States, about the role responsibility of the embassy towards its citizens, that is the Zambians based in the U.S., can you please outline some of the roles of the embassy towards its citizens?
Thank you so much. Maybe before I go into that detail, every ambassador has their style of carrying out their mandate, notwithstanding the well-defined roles of a mission, because you may have roles well stipulated for all to follow. But at the end of the day, it depends on those who actually execute those roles and functions. So really my tour of duty during my stay here in the U.S. is predicated on a number of principles that I have shared with my team here. And we are in agreement that whatever we shall do, let's try to work within these parameters. Now, I want to state a few things here before we look at the roles of the embassy. And I hope these will then form the backdrop of whatever we discuss thereafter.
Okay.
Yes. One is that as an embassy, we believe that our privileged position here is not designed to elevate us above others, but is to horizontally connect with the diaspora in meaningful ways. As an embassy or mission, we want to make every interaction with the diaspora an opportunity to leave our people feeling a little better. Those are some of the assumptions. Those are some of the principles I'm talking about. Now, it is our hope that during our tours of duty here at the mission, our work and service will make a positive difference in the lives of Zambians and others that we come into contact with. And you do mention that we've had complaints from the people we are supposed to serve, the diaspora. One thing I ought to emphasize here within these same principles is that as a community of citizens, let us know that our maturity will be judged by how well we are able to disagree and yet continue to love one another, to cherish one another, to seek the greater good of one another. I thought that I should start with those principles. Now, coming to the embassy, what are the roles assigned to an embassy such as this one? If you look at an embassy like Washington, it is basically a replica of government here in the United States. And what that means is that the president, through my office, has delegated functions that would ordinarily be performed by him as the sovereign of Zambia in the U.S. to this mission in my letters and in my mandate. So one is that we are the chief, or I am the chief government spokesperson here, and as such, my team and I ought to be ready to indeed speak for Zambia, speak to Zambians and others who have an interest in us. We are there, first and foremost, for the Zambians here. And why do I say so? This mission would be meaningless or would be of very little consequence if there were no Zambians in America or there were no Zambian interests in America. So it's first the Zambians and then Zambian interests. Of course, the Zambians constitute an interest as well. And so our role as an embassy is to protect and promote those interests within the rule of law, to ensure that our people are served just like they would be served by various government entities back home. In a nutshell, that's what we are here for. But not only that, I think you know that diplomacy, and should I just say, Zambia's foreign policy has taken a new twist from the past. We are now emphasizing economic diplomacy. Not to say that we are not practicing political diplomacy, but we believe that economic diplomacy should be at the spear point of our work. So as we carry out that, everything we do will have that bearing. Even as we interact with the diaspora, we will want to see how best the diaspora fits into this space.
Yeah. Ambassador, you've clearly stated very well, our people, and I quote you, our people are served just like a government department back home. Of course, an embassy is different, so therefore all the government departments represented in Zambia's government structure are under one roof, the Embassy of the Republic of Zambia in the U.S. My question is, in relation to that point, is there a particular single officer at the embassy who is assigned to deal specifically with issues affecting its citizens? I know we have the passport department and all these others, but could you tell us the position of a particular officer at the embassy who I can call for general other issues other than a passport?
Thank you so much. Let me begin by stating that every diplomat at the mission in Washington, D.C. is accredited to the U.S. and as such has responsibility to look after the welfare of Zambians in the diaspora. However, as you bring out the point of specialization, yes, we have various officers assigned to various roles. When one wants to deal with what we would call consular-related matters, we have a consular section. And you know, under consular, this is where you have issues such as passports, travel documents, dealing with facilitation of remains of our loved ones who happen to die within this jurisdiction, the issues of national registration cards, and the issue of Zambians in detention. So the consular section is manned by a consular counselor who is assisted by a first secretary immigration. However, they all operate in my name. But should you want to indeed engage the mission, that will be the point of call. Unless the matter requires escalation to my office. But we have a specific office, the Office of the Counselor, Political and Consular, and we have the Office of First Secretary Immigration. That's gotcha. To deal with consular matters. We have specific officers assigned to trade and investment. We have specific officers assigned to tourism. We have here Ms. Patricia Litia entrusted with press matters and PR-related activities. And we have other officers dealing with economic issues and internal issues such as the management of the chancery.
So basically what you're saying is that a Zambian needs to understand when we call the office, I need to know my subject of discussion and I'll be directed accordingly. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. The consular issue, of course, you have tabulated passports, travel documents, facilitations of remains of loved ones, NRC. Let's zero in into national registration cards. This question, a lot of people threw it to me when they heard about our discussion with you. We have children who came here before they attend the age of obtaining a national registration card. What is the procedure for us to get NRCs for kids in that situation?
Thank you very much. The issue of NRCs is receiving active attention by my office. And what do I mean by active attention? It has come to my attention that indeed we have many of our young ones within the U.S. who are attaining the age of 16 within this jurisdiction, and for all intents and purposes, they are Zambia, and as such are entitled to receive an NRC. As the law stands now, or in terms of logistics, this particular function has not been directly or delegated to the mission, meaning I do not have within the mission the resources, the capabilities to issue NRCs from this end.
Okay.
The other aspect is processing of NRC. Again, my mission does not have the resources and capabilities of facilitating the production of an NRC out of jurisdiction, meaning whereas we're able to do it with a passport, unfortunately an NRC requires the issuance by the department or the registrar of birth, death, and marriages. So now the question maybe for our people is what are we doing to try and attend to this need, which is legitimate, and I think demands our attention. We have been suggesting that we consider, and this, by the way, is still works in progress,
yes, sir.
We explore the possibility of having the office of the Registrar of National Registration visiting the various states to issue these, because as things stand now, if one wanted an NRC, it would call for the child traveling to Zambia to get the NRC. So we are yet to get a response on that, because it involves all other missions worldwide.
Yes.
But it is one issue that all the embassies are putting across. So should that come through, just for argument's sake, maybe one might be thinking of having mobile NRC registration happening in other jurisdictions, just like we have mobiles within Zambia. But as at now, unfortunately, the position is that one would have to get to Zambia to have that NRC issue.
Very important point, Ambassador, that you've explained adequately and ably, and I'm sure everybody listening appreciates that information as much as it's not a pleasant position, but at least we know. The issue of passports has been a thorny one. Any developments or anything you'd like to shed light on the passport position?
With the passports, we have tried to reduce the lead time it takes to process one's passport. Upon my assuming this role, one of the thorny issues, or one issue that strained the mission's relationship with the diaspora, was the delay in processing passports, because this tended to inconvenience a lot of our nationals who basically have to travel around. So what I did with my team here was to sit down, and we looked at all these complaints. We analyzed the status of the various applications. We profiled them, and we created a case and put up a matrix. Basically, this matrix was showing how long some passports had taken to be issued. And then we assigned one among us to travel to Zambia to physically engage with the passport office with our case. And that was done last year, sometime in August. And following that constructive mission to Zambia, a number of undertakings internally were made by the passport office. And true to their word, they have begun to indeed process our passports at least within 3 months. We have reduced the lead time from a year, 6 months, to 3 months, hoping that this can even further improve. But we have been striving to ensure that at least a passport is processed within 3 months. It's not the best of lead time, but one can at least take that as a positive.
Okay. You are listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. This is our Sunday special feature. We're talking to Zambia's ambassador to the U.S., His Excellency Mr. Palani Mulonda. Let me mention to everybody, I said this at the beginning, please understand that the arrangement and the agreement with this discussion is that this is a Facebook event. If you have a question or comment, please post it on Facebook and I'll read it to the ambassador. That was the arrangement. It's not the embassy. It is on me. Put it on me, okay? Let me just clarify that. There's another interesting question, Ambassador, and I'm sure you're going to understand when I ask this. There was a diaspora desk at State House in the previous administration. Is it still existing? If so, where has it been relocated or reassigned?
Thank you so much. Correct. There used to be a diaspora desk within State House. That desk per se is no longer existent. However, let me hasten to state that the diaspora policy is now under the portfolio of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. What that means is that Foreign Affairs will now articulate diaspora issues as they relate to government policy. And we do now have in progress the development, the articulation of a diaspora policy. And we are hoping that at the appropriate time, using our various leaders dotted around this country, engage the diaspora to get their input on how this policy should be finally crafted. It is a policy that will want to tap into the sleeping giant. I always state this, that the only remaining, the untapped frontier for Zambia is the diaspora. It is Zambia's sleeping giant, and as government, we recognize that and would want to engage with diaspora in a more meaningful way. So there is a diaspora policy. We hope the diaspora policy can then further articulate and develop concrete government positions as they relate to the diaspora.
Okay. A follow-up on that, Ambassador. If I call the Foreign Affairs in Lusaka and I tell them, connect me to the person dealing with diaspora issues, or maybe you can help us understand what is the portfolio, what's the title, what's the position or name of person dealing with diaspora issues at the foreign embassy, at the foreign office in Lusaka.
Okay. Currently, we do not have a specific officer. It will become clear as the policy is adopted who will be assigned. As you know, this is a new role that has been given to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. What we have is a team working behind the scenes, putting together in a consultative manner the diaspora policy. It is the policy itself which will actually define the institutional framework, meaning it will decide whether we even need an act of parliament, whether we need specific officers, whether the embassies should have specific desks or positions. The policy will determine that. And as things stand now, as they relate to diaspora and diaspora issues, we can safely say that I would do well to engage the various missions, including my mission here, if there's anything specific.
Excellent. Let me try to throw in some questions from Facebook here. Can the ambassador answer the procedure on land applications? A while ago, Zambians in the diaspora were offered this opportunity. There has been no feedback. How is paperwork handled?
Thank you. There was a time when the diaspora were given a quota of land. And what do I mean by a quota? They were to be considered whenever parcels of land became available. And that was being done through the diaspora desk then at State House. And so a few of our people within diaspora made use of that facility. And indeed, they did get their parcels of land. As things stand now, we do not have such a desk to facilitate such application. But we are in discussion, and we hope this comes through. What we are trying to do for now is to try to see whether the Ministry of Land can use us as advertising agents on our website whenever parcels of land become available, so that we can in turn process or receive those applications and forward them to the Ministry of land. Again, that is work in progress. However, even as at now, people are free to write to the Commission of Land asking for a parcel of land. But as you know, Zambian land is categorized. You have land that would fall squarely within the preserve of the Commission of Land. You have land that is under the jurisdiction of councils. And of course, you have land that is under the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Agriculture. You have land that is under the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Local Government as a ministry. And you have land that is under the jurisdiction of traditional custodians or leaders. Now, all these do advertise. As I speak, there have been adverts that have been issued by various district councils, and people have been responding to that. Now, this is what our diasporans are not getting, because they are not on the ground. They don't get to hear Chipata District Council advertising. They don't get to hear Kabwe District Council, City Council advertising. They don't get to hear Kapiri District Council advertising. And what we are arguing is that maybe we find a way of ensuring that this information that the Zambian on the ground is able to see through a paper is equally clearly brought to the attention of Zambians in diaspora so that they too can apply for those parcels of land.
As a matter of fact, Ambassador, there is a question that I received during the week to that extent. Maybe let me just read it in line with what you have said. Are there any thoughts around regular dissemination of information or updates from the embassy to the diaspora through maybe a newsletter? So how do we get firsthand, just like the person in Lusaka, Kapiri, Kapiri, Chipata, so always receives that information that there is land in whichever place. How do I get that information firsthand here in the United States?
True. We will then, and we are trying to work along those lines. Should this be well coordinated, and it does come through the embassy, through our website, and of course we are in the process of reviving a newsletter, we'll definitely advertise or place these adverts as is on our website. And of course this website should be closely linked to the various leaders, because America is vast. And
yes,
you need something to quickly spread the word, because these adverts have timelines. There are deadlines to be met. Maybe the best we can argue in future is that for those applications coming from the diaspora, maybe they should create two deadlines, one for those within jurisdiction and one for those from diaspora. But again, with technology, you know that government in October is going e-governance. So we are going e-governance, meaning every government department by October 31st must be online, and every information that anyone would want to acquire must be on their website. So
okay,
I want to believe that that is another avenue we might have to pursue in ensuring that all the district councils once online, and this is a directive. All the ministries that have anything to do with land will need to ensure that parcels of land that are available are placed online in terms of adverts, because that's
okay,
the quickest way that the diasporans can get hold of this information. And maybe as a mission, we'll basically be a sounding board to shoot to the key contact, just as a reminder that there is an advert running. Can you check with the Ministry of Land? Today they have posted this. Could people from here begin to submit? As an embassy, the best I can do is to receive at least copies of those applications because we want to carry out an assessment after a certain period to see how many of our people apply and how many successfully get allotted parcels, and also to do away with this issue of others passing the buck that they never received diasporan application. If these applications could also be copied to the embassy, this will be proof enough that indeed the particular Zambian in diaspora on such and such a date did forward either scanned copy or whatever to Zambia for a parcel of land.
Okay. Excellent. I think that is clear. It's important that, like we said, we were having a discussion before you came on that we are having a family conversation, and it's important that this information comes out. Let me just inform everybody, including Ambassador, that at this point, the only people listening to this conversation are those that have called in. We have gone off the air internationally and worldwide because the segment was set for 1 hour. However, I think for the sake of those that called in and were waiting, I just wish us to continue the conversation for the next 10-15 minutes if the ambassador does not mind.
Not at all.
Here is another question. A major hurdle for vast remittances into Zambia, ambassador, from the U.S. is the cost of sending money. Is there any way that Zambia's central bank can work with U.S. banks to reduce the cost of sending money to Zambia?
That is a legitimate concern. The cost of sending money is fairly high. And I was in California last week where a few Zambians raised the issue of remittances as being a bit on the high side. And as such, they had even explored other avenues of trying to beat these high fees. But by and large, I think it's in our interest as a country to ensure that we make it a lot cheaper to send remittances, because these remittances have a serious impact on our economy. As you know, diasporans sent $60 billion to the continent last year. That supported 120 million people. That is not small money. It is more than combined the foreign development assistance we received. So it's not a small enterprise. And because of that, even the AU has recognized the impact of remittances on the continent. And they've actually established an institute, an AU institute that will be based in Nairobi, the Institute of Remittances. Debate is still on, but this is something we believe that each country must interrogate seriously for the benefit first and foremost of its nationals and for the benefit of the country as a whole. I wish to state here that in fact the bank governor was at the mission during the spring meetings in April and he inquired on this same subject. Without preempting what we intend to do, I will be engaging the bank governor soon over the proposal that you have placed before us. And rest assured that once we have feedback, this will be given back as an update to be shared by the various communities.
I've been informed that, and I think I'm aware of this, there is a form that exists to do with land issues. Robert, I want you to help me out here. Is it on the embassy website, or where can we get this from?
Initially, it was on the embassy website several years back. I then made the form available on the Zambia Resource Center site. Not know whether it's still available on the embassy's website. I've still held on to the form currently because I don't know whether it's still valid for use. But this procedure was that we use that form, fill it out, and then send it to the mission, and the mission would then forward it on. So I guess that was my question, to determine whether that form is still valid for use or if we should refrain from using it going forward.
Let me suggest at this point that you give us a bit of time. We will be getting back to you with the current status regarding these forms. And once we have all in place, we are, by the way, restructuring the website to take a new face soon. And we hope that with that relaunch of the website, all these key resources will be made available. And hoping that those that are linked to the website can too take advantage to spread the word.
Excellent. Thank you for that clarification. Maybe what I'll do is, let me just read one more question and then we can conclude here, and we shall liaise for a future discussion with Press Secretary Ms. Patricia Letia. Here is one which is more on a personal level, Ambassador. Freedom of speech and freedom of expression can be overused at times. How does your mission staff, and including yourself, respond to attacks from its own people, especially since you two are human?
Thank you so much. Let me begin by stating that I believe in the adage that to err is human, to forgive is divine. The other point I would want to restate, which is basically one of the principles that my team would want to engage going forward, is that as a community of citizens, let us know that our maturity will be judged by how well we are able to disagree and yet continue to love one another, to cherish one another, to seek the greater good of one another. We recognize that we are gifted differently, not because we should be separate or alienated from each other, but precisely in order to realize our need for each other. In order to realize our need for each other. So, going forward, I hope for a situation where we can have a diaspora that is united in diversity. It is practically impossible to have a homogeneous community in any setup. We are wired differently. We are created differently, unique, and our worldviews are informed by different models, paradigms, name it. And those influence our perception and our opinion. And what we in all this ought to realize is that we are unique and others may have different positions. But that should in no way separate us or alienate us, as I stated. It is basically an opportunity for all of us to say, wait a minute, I see something, I look at this issue differently, and put across that in spaces such as the ones you have created. Come forward, put up your argument, let others reflect on it, agree or disagree. But even as they disagree, they should also note that you are still human. You are still one people. You are all called Zambians. And that the world is too small and life too short to have enemies. So we do well going forward that as we express our different opinions that are informed by different worldviews, we take into account the fact that other people too could have different views. And our role as a mature community is to see how we reconcile those different views for the greater good of the bigger community. If we moved along those lines, we will remain united even in diversity. I think that's all I can.
That's right, Ambassador. Wow, well said. Ambassador, as we conclude, if there is something that unites Zambians across tribe, religion, educational level, background, whatever, is soccer, and our national team is coming to the United States next month, we just lost a person and a man we can consider a legend who put us together as a people. It doesn't matter whether you are listening from Chipata or Mufulira like myself or Mazabuka. Dennis Liwewe was a legend. Your memories and thoughts about the late Mr. Dennis Liwewe.
Thank you so much. Indeed, for me who grew up in Lusaka, I know football was... I equally played soccer as a young boy, and I followed football from a very tender age. And not only that, I was privileged to be... My family was quite close to the Liwewe family because two of my sisters actually were friends to two of the Liwewe girls. They were in the same class. But that beside, it was synonymous to Zambian football and Zambian players. If there's anything that... if there was a voice that united us all at a particular time, or point in or time in space, it was Dennis Liwewe's voice whenever he was at any of the grounds around the country. Whether he's at Inchanga, whether he's in Mufurila, at Rail Grounds in Kawe, whether he's at Nkoloma or at Independence or at Dark Stadium, his voice would hold all of you spellbound. Because you basically could not afford not to follow through his commentaries, which were, in my view, unique in a way. If there's anything that bound us together as a nation during those days, it was Dennis Liwewe on a Sunday or any day running commentary of all these people. Let me tell you from a personal perspective, growing in Lusaka, I did not have the privilege of meeting most of the football icons who mainly came from the Copper Belt. But believe you me, I came to know them as to a detail because of Mr. Liwewe's style of commenting. This is how some of us came to know the likes of, you know, the legendary Zumu Ndlovu, you know, the Alex Cholas of this world, the Yuka Chitalus. As young people, he would talk about them as they play soccer, as they play football. And at one time, I recall myself cutting. I used to have papers. Whenever my father brought newspapers, I would cut some of those personalities. I think I knew most of the football players. And you could relate to those faces by using Dennis Liwewe's commentary. So you knew that this man comes from this part and he has played and his mentor was this. He was able to go into that detail, and I think that was great. That was great. And if there's anything to honor him, maybe Zambians at this time should now begin to write history. I think let someone familiar with Zambia's football history write about these legends in extenso, in detail, so that this history is kept for posterity to know. Thank you.
Agreeable, sir. You couldn't have said it better than that. That was His Excellency, Mr. Palani Mulonda, on our Sunday special feature as Zambia's ambassador to the United States. Your Excellency, we do thank you for taking the time to talk to us and to share some thoughts and clarify a lot of issues.
Let me also thank a great Zambian, Ms. Patricia Litia, the press secretary at the embassy, for facilitating and working with the community in ensuring and fostering relations between the embassy staff and the Zambian community, particularly the leaders. Aboritia, job well done. Your Excellency, we do thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. And please, I want to just wish everyone a happy 50th independence celebration. I say so because we want to see the preparation for this great event commencing in earnest now by the various associations, so that as the day approaches, we can say, yes, indeed, we are 50.
Excellent. Please join us for our regular broadcasting Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern with Pastor Mwaka, and Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, and all the way different shows and broadcasting all the way. We look forward to seeing everybody in Tampa, Florida, Zambia versus Japan, June the 6th. Contact your association president or go to Facebook, Chipolopolo America. All the information is there. Everybody, have a great week, and join us on Tuesday night with Pastor Mwaka.
Sate wanga ineo, moyo wachinja mama neo. Ntawi zonte alikumowa, kuzibe ntawio na kopanja. Kumwana hako kuipirenji, kuchitoko na mumu follow. Hama ama inei, njiziwanda zota nisi. Taeza talema, nayo mapempelo. Ati kapena siku lina, azati kumbukila oye. Chifu kwa lelo, bantu bonse basowesa ulemu. Atate imwe, atate imwe. Tinga nkale osangalala, tuba ingatoki.